Well, as Dave has already told us, right, this weekend is Labor Day. And, you know, I was trying to make a joke of it, but Labor Day jokes don't work. Now, have you ever wondered why, you'll get that at some point during the service. Have you ever wondered why God has placed you where you are? You know, not just that you're a part of this church, or why you live in your neighborhood, but why you do the work that you do every day. You know, a lot of people will view work just simply as a necessary evil, right? It is a way that we pay the bills or we make ends meet. Other people see it as a personal fulfillment. But I believe that Scripture invites us to see our work in a deeper light. In Colossians chapter 3, this is what Paul says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him through God the Father. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master that you are serving is Christ." Now notice, nowhere in this scripture passage that we're reading, I mean, I should be pointing back there, mine is up there, but nowhere in the scripture that we read this morning does Paul limit this to church work. In fact, that never even comes up. He simply says, whatever you do, and this means teaching school, changing diapers, building houses, answering phones, leading companies, farming the fields, writing reports, all of this can be kingdom work. And the question isn't whether our work can be connected to God's mission. The question is, how do we intentionally connect to it? And so today we're going to be talking about, you know, this work worth doing. How do we go about connecting our work to the kingdom of God? Three truths this morning. Work is worship, work is witness, and work is a way to welcome others into Christ's kingdom. So the first one is, you know, that our work is worship. You know, often in our lives today, we will divide our life into two different categories, right? We'll have the sacred part of our life, the spiritual part of our life, and the secular part of our life. Right on this side, the sacred or the spiritual side, we have things like prayer and Bible study and church attendance. Right? These things are spiritual. But over here, you know, the filing paperwork, the mowing the lawn, the doing the laundry, this stuff is secular. It has nothing to do with what's over on this side. But Paul, if we're paying attention, changes that narrative, this false divide that we have created, when he says, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord. You know, when we work with integrity and gratitude, we are worshiping. Now, worship is not limited to Sunday mornings. Right, worship is an attitude. It is a life posture that we are called to live out beyond this hour window. As Methodists, right, we believe that holiness isn't just about avoiding sin. It is about consecrating every part of our life to God. We believe that the gospel is meant to be lived out everywhere that we go. And what would happen if we began to understand that, if we began to live that in our office cubicles, or our kitchens, or our classrooms, or on the job sites, if we began to see these types of spaces as sanctuaries? What if we treated our coworkers, or the effort that we put into our tasks, and the integrity with which we made decisions What if we saw these things as acts of praise? You know, God doesn't measure the importance of your work by its title, but by its purpose. You know, the stay-at-home parent who is raising godly children is doing sacred work. The custodian that is cleaning a school with a smile and a prayerful spirit is doing holy work. The CEO of a company making ethical decisions that will serve employees well is doing kingdom work. You know, simply put, what Paul is saying is that the way that you work either honors the name of Christ or diminishes the name of Christ. And that when you give your best to the Lord, even our ordinary work becomes extraordinary worship. Secondly, our work is a witness. You know, our work then becomes a witness. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The people you work with may never see a sermon on Sunday, but they can see it in you, or they should see it in you on Monday. You know, you might be the only Bible that your coworkers will read. You know, people look, right? As Christians, we are called to be different. We are called to stand out. And when we do, or regardless whether we try or not, people notice how we work. They notice if we show up late. They notice if we gossip or we encourage. They notice if we respond in anger or we are ready to give grace. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, believed in the power of practical divinity, that living your faith, living in such a way that your faith is made visible. Right in Wesley's day, Methodists gained a reputation for their honesty and their hard work. Employers would seek out Methodists because of their faith, and he knew that it made them trustworthy. You know, there's kind of a quick story from last night at the funnel cake booth. So every night at the funnel cake booth, we have to, we total up our the amounts that we sold, and we have to give a certain amount to the Big Knob Fair. That's just kind of part and parcel to the funnel cake booth. And so we total up our amount, and I walked up to the office, and I gave him the envelope. I came back to the funnel cake booth, you know, ready to clean, and they're still counting. And we realized, oh, we didn't give them enough. So we put the money back and put more money into another envelope. I had to walk back up. The lady says, "You're back." I said, "Yeah, I'm back." I said, we got this wrong, and so we wanted to give you some extra money, or give you, the amount that we owe you. And I walked back, and we're still trying to figure out the money. And we found out we were still wrong. I'm a pastor, not an engineer. And so the final amount was $34, right? We realized that, you know, the first two amounts weren't enough. It was $34, and it would have been very easy for us to simply say, "It's $34, right? We've just given them about $300 already, and so we don't need to give them another $34. But we've got Jesus." So we wrapped up that $34. I walk into the lady's office, and I just hang my head. She looks at me, and she's, well, we realized that, we were $34 short, and redoing our math a couple times and wanted to make sure we gave you everything that you were owed. And she thanked me. She's like, wow, you didn't need to do that. You know, but we're a church, right? This is who we are, right? As Methodists, this is who we are. We are trustworthy. People can believe us and trust us. You know, our witness at work comes from being excellent in our work and being kind in our relationships. It comes from showing patience under pressure and compassion to others who are hurting. You know, your workplace is a mission field. Your break room can become a place of ministry. Your desk an altar. The way that you treat customers or coworkers is a testimony for what Christ has done for you. And so instead of joining in the gossip or sharing in the tea, as we would say, speak encouragement. Instead of complaining, share gratitude. Instead of cutting corners, become known for excellence. Pray for your coworkers by name. Ask God for open doors for spiritual conversations. Because our work can become a mission. And our third point here this morning is that our work is a way to welcome others into Christ's kingdom. Our work is a way to welcome others into Christ's kingdom. You know, ultimately, our mission as followers of Jesus is to make disciples. That mission, that role, is not reserved for pastors or missionaries. It is for every believer. You know, God has strategically placed you in your place of worship, your place of work for a purpose. You have access to people that I don't. You know, I may never know your coworkers. But your words and your actions can plant seeds in them that the Holy Spirit will water. I mean, if we're being honest, we feel intimidated at the idea of doing evangelism at work. We think, well, I can't preach at my job. I'll get in trouble. And that's a valid concern. It could be a very valid concern. But evangelism is not forcing conversations. It is about living in such a way that people are drawn to the Jesus that you serve. One summer when I was in college, being involved in Campus Crusade for Christ, we would go on summer mission trips, and I spent the summer up in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. And we're required to get jobs because, you know, understanding that our work is worship. And so where we worked became a mission field. And so I went to work on a place that was right on the boardwalk in Hampton Beach. And I was told very quickly, right, the guy who worked there last year was weird. You know, he had shaved an ichthus, the Christian fish, into the side of his head, and was, you know, talking, leaving Bible verses everywhere, and it was a subtle warning to me, right? They were saying, "Don't be that guy." And thankfully, wisely enough, the Holy Spirit allowed me to have some wisdom, and so I didn't preach. I didn't try to evangelize. I just was a part of the team. Became friends with the people I worked with. I had to cut 50 pounds of onions a day at that place. Yeah, that was fun. But by the end of the summer, I had coworkers who would come up to me and ask me about Jesus. Ask me why I had come to Hampton Beach. And it wasn't because of anything I was saying, you know. I mean, you guys have heard me talk a number of times. It's not what comes out of here that does anything, but it's how we live. Right? How we live matters. You know, we welcome people to Christ by building genuine relationships. If we see somebody as merely an object for us to evangelize, we are missing the point. We need to build real relationships with people. And so we earn the opportunity to tell them about our Savior. It means listening more than talking. It means sharing your story when the time is right. And I've heard a lot of your testimonies. And then I'll preach. You know, when somebody says, well, how are you handling your situation so well? Well, if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be falling apart. If it wasn't for God, I don't know what I would be doing. Right? These are ways and opportunities for us to share our story. You know, inviting people, because we build relationships, because we listen more than we talk, inviting people to church or to a small group becomes natural. You know, us simply being available when others are hurting is powerful. And God is already at work in other people's lives before we ever speak to them. God is already at work. God is already drawing people to Him. Our role is to simply water what somebody else had planted so that God may reap a harvest. Hey, you think about the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Jesus met her where she was. She was in the midst of her daily routine. In a sense, she was at work. Jesus goes and he listens to her. It wasn't about condemnation, but it was about conversation. And by the end of it all, she became a witness to her whole town. You know, when we see our workplaces as mission fields, our conversations can become kingdom conversations. Your kindness might make someone wonder why you are different. Your patience under stress may spark someone's curiosity. Your willingness to pray for someone in crisis may open the door to have some deeper conversations about faith. You might be thinking, but my job is so hard, my workplace is toxic, how can I see it as a mission field? Well, light shines brightest in the darkness. Joseph served faithfully in Egypt after being betrayed and imprisoned. His integrity led him to save a nation. Paul shared the gospel while chained in prison. None of us are where we are at by accident. God's providence has placed you there for just such a time as this. And if you're worried about, if you're thinking about, well, I don't feel equipped to do this, that's awesome. God's not asking you to be equipped. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. You don't have to have all the answers. You just need to know Jesus and be willing to share what Jesus has done in your life. You know, we're reminded in Colossians 3:24 that we will receive an inheritance from the Lord, a reward. Your earthly boss may never notice your efforts, but your heavenly Father will see and has seen every act done in His name. And we're told in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, blessed are those who die in the Lord. Their deeds will follow them. You know, what we do here, what we do in this life will echo for eternity. The souls you influence, the lives you touch, the seeds you plant, they are all part of your eternal inheritance. And so how can we go about living this reality in our lives? We'll start each day with a surrender. Pray every morning, Lord, I give you my work today. Use me to bless others. God, open my eyes to who you are calling me to speak to today. Secondly, work with excellence. Whatever you do, do it well. Excellence honors God and attracts others. Thirdly, build relationships. Learn people's names, care about their stories, and listen. Fourth, live with integrity. Be trustworthy, keep your word, refuse unethical shortcuts. And fifth, be ready for those God moments. Look for the opportunities to share hope. Offer to pray for someone. Share how God has shaped you. In a church, your work matters, not just for the paycheck, not just for the promotion, but for the kingdom. And every task, every conversation, every decision is an opportunity to worship, witness, and to welcome others to Christ. Imagine what would happen in our world today if every believer saw this, if every believer embraced this, that they saw their workplaces as their mission field. Imagine the impact that we could have if we lived out Colossians 3 and Matthew 5 daily. Our communities would change. Our workplaces would change. Most importantly of all, the kingdom of God would grow. So when you go back to work this week, just don't go to work. Go on mission. Offer your work to God. Offer your work as worship. Let your work be your witness. And trust that God is using you to draw others to Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for the work that you have given us. And help us to see it as an opportunity to glorify you. Lord, use our hands and our words, our integrity and our love to point others to Jesus. May our work be worship, our workplace a mission field, and our lives a living testimony to your grace. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen.